Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Welcome into Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and today's guest is one of my favorite singers actually right now. You know, not just favorite up-and-coming singers, just favorite country singers overall, Sam Groh. And I actually discovered Sam on Spotify, just, you know, scrolling through new music as you do. And I came across him, and it was Song About You, the new single he just put out. And I dove into his, you know, whole discography and everything he's recorded, and man, it is so good. Everything he has out is just awesome. He's got an album named Love and Whiskey, which came out last year, and it's full of bangers. Every single song on there, it's top of the line country. I don't think there's really much else out there that, you know, can top it. So if you haven't checked him out, go check him out right now, and then come back and listen to my conversation with him. We'll get into his career, where he started. He actually didn't even start with country music. He's, you know, his parents listened to it, so he wanted to rebel. Kind of joined an emo rock group and did some rock and roll, but the accent, you know, caught up to him. He didn't always want to be the front man either. He really kind of wanted to hang in the back and just play music. The stardom didn't appeal to him, but his talent showed through. He really didn't have a choice but to step up, be the lead singer, be the guy. And then stay tuned afterwards for some updates on a couple past guests, as well as a special musical number from Kyle Clark, who was on the show just a couple weeks ago. But here we go. Without further ado, my conversation with Sam Groh. Hey, is this Sam?
It sure is. What's up, man?
Not much, man. What about you?
Dude, I just had quite the adventure just before this phone call.
Oh, really? What happened?
Yeah, my manager's moving to Tennessee. So while he's getting his house, he had to get this U-Haul trailer. Well, I live like back in a holler on 17 acres, and I have this shed that's kind of deep back in my woods. At first, I thought I could get my truck and this U-Haul trailer through my two double garage door. That didn't work because of a cement wall. So then I had to go get a Kubota and put it to a Kubota side-by-side and drive it all through that in the rain.
Oh my God.
There. So I got it done, but it was an adventure, my friend.
Yeah, sounds like quite the night, I guess.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Well, at least that's something exciting to happen, you know, during all this quarantine stuff.
Yeah, legit.
What's Nashville been like through all of it?
Man, it's honestly, so I live in a real small town, and they kind of did like that first 14 days, and then they just kind of went back to what we normally are. We only had 22 cases.
Right, okay.
In Coffee County. Those people all healed. So we had like our gyms open and stuff like that before everybody else, but Nashville's a mess. It's they just went back to wearing mandatory masks again and all that. But fortunately for me, I don't really hang out there much.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I go to Arizona State, and Arizona's been crazy right now, so we'll see if I end up back there in August.
Oh, that's insane.
But yeah, let's talk about your career and your music. I guess I just want to start from the very beginning. You know, how did you first get into music? And the music you were doing wasn't country at the start, right?
Yeah, so I got started singing in church. My dad, he wanted me to get up and sing Amazing Grace when I was five. First time I tried to sing it, I chickened out, so I didn't do it. And then the second weekend, I got enough courage to do it, and people clapped at the end, and I was like, oh man, this is cool. I might want to try to do this more. So that's kind of where I got started, was in church. And then I grew up in a real small town, and of course, predominantly what everybody listened to was country. My parents listened to country, everybody listened to, so I didn't think the country was cool when
right,
I was
no, totally,
up.
Yeah.
So I tried to play in like emo bands and rock bands and try to do like more rock soul stuff. And then I started putting out albums, and then the country stations in my little town in Mechanicsville started picking up the songs and playing them, and all the rock stations were not. And so I couldn't run away from the accent in my songs.
That's so fair.
So then I just embraced it.
Yeah, so that's what you just – was it like – do you enjoy making country music as much as you enjoyed making like indie rock or emo rock, whatever you were making?
So – my goal when I was a kid was just to be the side guy. You know, I just wanted to play guitar and sing background vocals. I didn't even want to be the lead singer, but I would get in so many projects and the lead singers would always like, you know, flake out. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted to do it for a job. So I had to, and I kept relying on these dudes to, you know, want to do it full time, and they would always flake. So I was like, well, I guess I better start, you know, playing music. But I mean, I always wrote story songs anyway. That's just what I naturally did. I wanted to sing about what I was living. So, I've always enjoyed writing it. It's just, I never wanted to be the lead dude, and I just kind of turned into that.
Why was that, do you think?
Why did I turn into the lead
dude? Or why did you not want to be that from the start? Because I feel like a lot of people, they want to be that guy on stage.
Dude, I just, because, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, down to even my record deal and everything, I just, all I ever wanted to do was play music for people. I didn't, like, the glittery parts, honestly, was the stuff that it wasn't attractive to me at all. So I thought, well, cool, I'll be the side guy. I can do all the cool stuff, like write the songs, and I'll still get to be on stage and play the songs, but I won't have any of the pressure or the, you know, the spotlight.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why I just naturally I wanted to kind of be off to the side. But, you know, things change and morph, and I love my job.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it. And you talk about wanting to write songs, and your writing is awesome. Take me through, like, your writing process. What do you do when you sit down and, you know, you got an idea?
So everything is kind of a process is different. I try to at least on a regular write a song by myself, but in Nashville, you kind of get set up in these writing sessions where you go in with, like, a title or an idea, and then there'll be, like, two or three, sometimes three other people in the room with you, and you kind of collaborate and write these songs together. So a lot of my songs, you know, are formed that way, where I'll be sitting in a room with, you know, one other writer to two other writers, and we just kind of bounce lines and ideas off each other and create. But there's still times where I just have something and I'm feeling something, and it just comes out in 45 minutes, and I didn't need anybody else to help me write it because it was just real and true to me.
Sure, those ones are always fun. What's a song like that?
So I have a new one coming on my album. This is my first one that I've ever recorded that's going to be coming out on a record that I wrote 100% by myself. It's a song called Boy Like Me.
Okay.
And yeah, so, and I have other ones. So, like, I have a kind of like my hardcore people who've been following me, I have this record called Little Like Me, and I wrote all the songs on there by myself. So all, I think it's six tracks on there are all written by me.
Awesome. Yeah. But you do have some really cool co-writes. I think one of my favorite songs from you is She Ain't One of Those, which you wrote with Adam Craig. And, you know, he's from Washington State like me. So it's always cool to get those connections because there's not a lot of country out this way. But
I love Adam.
Yeah, that was cool when I saw his name on there. What was it like to write that one?
It was awesome. We played Country USA together, and me and Adam have always been buddies in town, and we were, you know, it just happened that we ended up on the same lineup that day. So I played, he played, and then we hung out after the show, and Adam really likes to drink Jameson, so we got on his bus and drank an entire bottle of Jameson, and just started talking about, you know, some of his ex-girlfriends and some of my ex-girlfriends. And there was one in particular that he dated, and I was like, man, does she ever, you know, try to hit you up anymore or anything? He's like, nah, she ain't one of those girls, man. And then we both looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, we have to write that. So we did. We got back to town and wrote it.
There you go. It's a great song. How did you guys decide that you'd be the one to record it?
Matt, honestly, I just loved it. And Adam's always been a huge, like, supporter and cheerleader of mine. And he was like, man, I just dropped, at the time he had just put out that EP on Broken Bow.
Right.
And he was like, I just put out a project, so why don't you cut this one? So I took it and ran.
That's awesome. Yeah. What's your favorite song off the album Love and Whiskey?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
I know. I mean, they gotta all be up there obviously, but if you had to pick one.
They're all my babies, man.
Yeah.
She Ain't One of Those is definitely one. I have a song called Battle of the South, which I thought was kind of a clever spin.
That one really is clever.
You know, a love relationship. And I got to write with one of my really good buddies two of my really good buddies. Taylor Phillips is one of my best friends, and then Michael Lawton is one of my really good friends too. So I love those songs. They also wrote God Made Small Towns with me. So I love that one. And History is probably one of my faves too. And I get to brag on that one more because I didn't have anything to do with writing it. But Hardy did.
Yeah, and, yeah.
It was just when he was kind of starting to break and stuff, so it was super cool to get to cut that song.
Yeah, that's fun. So you didn't work with him on that, though. It just kind of fell into your hands.
No, he had his team pitch it, and I cut it, and we celebrated when I cut it, but that's it.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah, and so your new song that just came out, too, a song about you, I didn't notice your name in the writing credits on that either, so is that another one that you got pitched?
Yeah, so it's one of my favorites, man. I heard it when I was recording the Love and Whiskey record. Taylor Phillips, again, one of my best friends, he played it for me right after he finished writing it with Joey and Kenton. And he called me, he was like, man, you have to record this song. And it was when I just signed a deal with Average Joe's and I was recording that first album. And I was like, yeah, dude, I love this song. Let's cut it. Well, then he went back to Warner Chapp, who he was writing for at the time. And he was like, hey, my buddy Sam's going to cut this song. And of course, I'm a new artist. So they were like, oh, well, let's try to push the song around first. And then a couple, like Eli Young Band put it on hold, Low Cash put it on hold.
Oh, really? Yeah.
A couple other big bands put it on hold, and the artists. And so obviously, when they put it on hold, I lost it. And then second album came around when I was cutting this, and Taylor was like, hey, they all didn't get in time. And then, of course, Eli Young Band and Low Cash both had shakeups at their labels, so they lost the holds.
Yeah.
So Taylor told Warner Chapp, he's like, man, I'm telling you, this is his song. You got to let him cut it. So he didn't. And I'm glad I got to because
yeah.
It's changing my life right now.
It's really taking off, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's it like to have a song just take off like that? And, you know, you've had success with your other music, but just to have one come out that's really taken such a hold.
Man, I've been wanting something like this to happen forever. I never really judged any of my stuff off of. I've always been like a DSP listener. Like I've always loved Spotify, Pandora, YouTube. You know,
yep.
I'm a millennial kid, so like I like that stuff. That's how I like to listen and discover.
Totally,
music.
Totally.
So I never really put weight on the radio stuff. So one of my goals was always to have a song to roll like this. You know. So when it started to happen, especially during the time that it's happened, you know, I was putting a song out in the middle of a pandemic and I was like, this is going to be probably awful, you know?
So, right. But
so when it came out and started to take off, I was amped. I'm still amped, man. We've crossed over the 4 million stream threshold a few days ago. We're closing in on 5 million
yeah.
now, across all platforms. So I'll get to do a cool little celebration video at 6 million here soon.
Yeah,
I'm gonna line up some champagne bottles and blow them up with Tannerite.
Looking forward to that. Do you ever just like go on your Spotify and just stare at that number of streams and just like
every day? I'm not even trying to play cool. Like, every day it's and then to see my monthly listeners, like I think the highest I've ever gotten on monthly listeners is like 500,000. So now to be inching close to 1 million, that's always been one of my goals. And then The Blame has always been one of my biggest songs ever. So to have Song About You come out and just blaze right past that, because I've always seen The Blame up at the top of my most streamed on every single platform. And now Song About You is at the top of all of them in such a fast, you know, time. So I'm stoked. I stare at it every day.
Yeah. So does that make you feel more pressure for this next project now? Like, you know, people are listening, you know, they're waiting for more songs like that.
100%. We literally like riding back because I'm doing these. I'm doing what's called I'm calling it the Backyards and Bonfires Tour. Where
okay.
I'm like traveling around the country in my truck and playing shows for like people who have supported and listened to my music forever. So we were traveling back this weekend, and my manager came down because obviously he's moving, and we were still just like listening through what we have already recorded and trying to make the next correct move. And of course, we're crossing our fingers, and you can cross your fingers too, that we're hoping the next single is going to have a really, really cool feature on it. So,
oh, really?
I think it'll give us a more of an advantage to, you know, not have to worry as much.
Yeah. Any hints on who that might be?
No.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Tell me more about that tour, though, because that sounds really cool.
Yeah, dude. So I started out traveling and playing like bonfire parties in people's backyards and stuff. That's how I started playing music, really. Was I would just pile my music gear and my acoustic in my truck and travel to people's houses. And I went from a truck to a band and having a van, and then going from a van to an RV and RV to a Prevo, you know, full on tour bus. Yep. And of course, when this stuff all hit, the bus companies are shut down. The drivers, they won't drive because of COVID. Live Nation shut down, so all the venues I played, like, they're all shut down. You can't play them. All the booking agencies are shut down. They fired everybody. So, like, I'm sitting here, and, you know, I've played music my whole life. And first 30 days of being at home was awesome. And then, like, day 45, I'm just sitting around like, man, I'm getting antsy. You know?
Yeah, I feel that.
It's like, this is weird. You have to do something. So I called my manager. I was like, man, I have to go play some shows. And he's like, well, you can't because everything's shut down. And I said, well, what if I just got in my truck and I just drove out to, you know, like some fans that support and maybe they want to have me come out and play at their house. You know, I was like, even the strictest states, you can have 15 people over at your house. Maybe they want me to come and play and do that. And he was like, well, we all know you're not going to get in your truck and go do that. And I was like, yeah, let me post the status. I post the status, and next thing you know, I had 30 dates in 11 states booked. So I've been traveling around in my personal truck across the country, and playing for these people. And it's been awesome, dude. Like, it really made me fall back in love with playing again.
Yeah, that's really cool, because that's like the roots of country music. I feel like it's just that really grassroots and really personal touch.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's cool. We play songs, and you know, it's people that have been listening to my, some newbies, and then some people who've been listening to my music forever. So I'll sit down and they'll, you know, ask me to play certain songs for an hour or so. And then afterwards, I'll hang out with them. We'll travel and look, you know, on their property, or ride around on side by sides, or I'll go fishing with them, or I'll play cornhole with them and their family, you know, like, so it's a lot more personal, and it's just been good for me, because, you know, I don't want to ever sound ungrateful being on a tour bus. Like, I'm thankful I've been on it. But when you're on it, you're just, like, playing the next venue, next venue, next venue. You don't look out the window. You don't really get to do anything, because it's not like you can wake your driver up and be like, hey, man, I'm trying to go fishing. Will you drive the tour bus?
Yeah, good luck with that.
So it's been good, because I really feel like not only am I getting to fall back in love with just playing songs raw like that with just me and my guitar, but I'm also really just living life, you know, better this way.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how you build fans for life too, so.
Yeah, man, for sure.
What's the farthest you've driven to play one of those?
Well, I mean, we haven't done it yet, because right now it's upstate New York, but this coming September, I'm going all the way out to California.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so we're all over. We've done, by the end of this thing, we'll do the majority of the states. And it's just been cool, man, to be able to be behind the steering wheel and look out the window and see it all.
Yeah, and I feel like you might get some really cool song inspiration, too, just on those drives.
For sure, 100%. Like, getting to talk to people and hearing their stories is where I draw all my inspiration from, you know, living. And I mean, if you're not living anything, you're not experiencing anything, it's, you're going to write some really shitty, boring songs.
So yep.
I'm grateful to get to do this.
For sure. For sure. So you also, I read somewhere, you're a published poet.
Yeah, I was a published poet when I was like, I think I was like 10 or something. I won a poetry contest in elementary school. They wanted to, the contest was to write a poem about truck drivers, and I wrote one and I won the contest, and then my teacher thought it was really good, so she submitted it for this book where it was like kids who wrote poems, and she got me published in a book.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's, yeah, such like a small town school thing too, like write a poem about a truck driver. I love it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So you also play with Kanye. You've had a crazy career, man. Yeah, what happened there?
So I grew up in this town called Mechanicsville. It's in Maryland, St. Mary's County. And out of all the places that Kanye's dad wants to create this nonprofit, is this thing called Goodwater, which is also the title of, or like the name of Kanye's label at the time. But he opened this place in like St. Mary's County where you buy a bottle of water and then a bottle of water gets donated to people who, you know, can't have purified water.
Right, right.
So it was a grand opening, and he had me come and play. And I knew it was Kanye's dad, but I didn't think Kanye was going to come. And then all of a sudden, all these like black expeditions rolled up, and Kanye walked in. And he was like, "Hey man, do you know Gold Digger?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." And he goes, "Will you sing the hook?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I just started playing and singing the hook, and he rapped it. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing ever, but I mean, I did it.
What year was that in?
Shit, dude, it was when Gold Digger was out. So
right, okay, but that was probably like
I wasn't even old enough to drink.
Yeah, so that was probably like peak Kanye.
Yeah.
So what'd you go back to high school the next day, and everyone was just like,
yeah, dude. Pretty much.
They're like, "What just happened?" Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, they were used to it though, man. Because I mean, I was 15 and I would play bars on, you know, Wednesday nights for tips and stuff. So
well, okay, but Kanye wasn't at the bars, like.
No, he definitely wasn't. That is true.
So I saw somewhere too. You mentioned you toured with Tyler Farr, and I'm a big Tyler Farr fan too. You said you learned a lot from him.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Man. How does he influence you?
He's just a really good performer. Tyler's got some of the best banter on stage. Like anybody who I tour with, I try to take away what works for them and what I could have worked for me, and what doesn't work for them obviously isn't going to work for me either. So, but he was just, I liked the way that he could play a serious song, but then after he got done playing a serious song, he could tell a story and make everybody laugh too. He kind of takes you on this storytelling journey, and then his music's awesome and his band's awesome. Like he's never the guy that stands up on the edge of the stage and wants to take all of the light. He enjoys allowing his band to be guitar slingers and walk up to the edge of the stage and, you know, play solos in people's faces and do dueling guitars. And so it was just such a dope show to watch. And I mean, if you're gonna steal from anybody, I think everybody should try to steal a little bit from Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, and his career interests me because he hasn't put out a ton of music, but the stuff he puts out does super well.
Yeah, dude, quality.
It's yeah,
just stuff that he knows relates to him and people can relate when he sings it.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. His show's definitely, it's far from boring. You can go and watch some other artists, and you know, a lot of people still consider Tyler a new artist, even though he has, you know, a bunch of hits.
Right, but, right.
You can go and watch some new artists and they have like that one song, and then the rest of the 90 minutes is like, oh my God, this is really tiring, you know?
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, and that sounds like a great show. Those are the kind of things that really stick with you. And you must love that too, to see the band get the credit, because that's what you wanted to do at the start.
Yeah, legit. I mean, and a lot of the bands that like even my dad listened to, I liked watching and listening to him because it just was a group effort. A show is never boring when you have 5-6 dudes or chicks, you know, up there playing and switching off, you know, energy. Like when you have multiple things to watch, it's a lot. The show's way more entertaining than just watching one guy walk left and right, back and forth, you know, and not seeing what the band's doing.
Absolutely. And I saw Lil Wayne actually in Arizona last year, and he had a full band on stage behind him. And
dude,
it was
just, man, it was awesome.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
A lot better than just like, you know, a DJ coming out and pressing a space bar and someone rapping over it or singing.
100%.
So tell me about Average Joe's Entertainment that you're signed to, because it sounds like a really cool label.
Oh, it's the best. So when I came to Tennessee 5 years ago, I signed a publishing deal. And so I was first coming here to be a songwriter. And we did some showcases and stuff because I'd only been in town for a week when I signed my publishing deal, which is not a regular thing for
a lot
of people. So, you know, Nashville tends to be like sharks. If a little bit of blood hits the water, they all want to swarm on it to see what's up with it, you know?
Right.
So my publishing company had me do some showcases, and we had four or five major labels that wanted to sign me, but all of them wanted to, you know, fire my band members and, you know, change up a lot of stuff that really what made me me. So I didn't do it. I didn't sign any of the deals. So of course that rumor kind of got around town quite a bit, and a lot, you know, fast forward a few years later, I'm opening up for Colt Ford, and my buddy Taylor again was out writing songs with Colt, and Taylor just happened to look at the day sheet and was like, holy shit, man, Sam's playing the show with you this weekend. Sam's my boy. And so Colt had me come up and write a couple songs with him, and then he went and watched the show. And as we were walking off stage, Colt was like, hey, after I'm done playing, will you come up on the bus and talk to me? So I did, and he was like, hey, I've heard the rumors. Taylor told me why you won't sign any record deals or whatever. He's like, I don't want to change anything. Like, I just want to make your music be heard if you'll have me. He goes, I just want you to be signed onto my label. And, of course, I've heard those lines and all that stuff before, so, like, I didn't really take him serious. And he's like, you know, seriously, if you come in, just tell me what you want, and we'll make it happen. And he did. So it's been awesome. And my first album, dude, I don't know any of my buddies that have signed major deals where they get a check handed to them and they're just like, go create. And that's, yeah, that's what Colt did with me. First album, he's just like, here's money, go make music. And it's been awesome. He never tries to stifle anything that I want to do or chase. He's always been supportive, and of course now on this new music, he's even been nice enough to clear his schedule and produce it, you know?
Yep.
So it's been great, dude. I love this label.
That's so cool, because that's exactly the kind of guy I would think Colt is, just listening to his music, and it's cool to hear that, like, that is, you know, legitimately true.
Oh, 100%, dude. What he is, what you see him as on, you know, like on Instagram and on socials and stuff, is exactly who he is in person. There is no difference whatsoever. He's literally one of the sweetest dudes in the industry, and just a huge mentor of mine. And he's been extremely supportive since day one. And he genuinely just wants the best for whoever works with him.
Have you ever thought about making a country rap song? I know he featured, but like you doing the rapping?
Oh man, so I write country rap stuff. I love, okay. I won't ever rap because I'd be terrible, but I'll sing the hooks. But so like I have a song called Sideways with Demon Jones, and then I wrote another song called Named It After Me for Ryan Upchurch.
Yo, I love that song, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I love that music. And I'm supposed to do a couple writes and collaborate with Jelly Roll. I don't know if you know who Jelly Roll is.
I don't, but
dude, he's awesome. He's a southern rapper, but like he runs around with Yellow Wolf,
yep,
and Struggle Jennings, and like kind of that whole clique. If you ever get a chance to listen to his music,
yeah, I'll have to check him out for sure.
Yeah, he's crazy good. He's an independent rapper. He has a million monthly listeners on Spotify.
Dang.
Independent, completely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're just working and grinding, and I love it. I'll let you get going here, but before you go, real quick, if you were to open up your Spotify right now, what would pop up? What were you listening to music when you were working about in that garage or with your truck?
Yeah, man.
So what was on?
I always listen to you know, kind of what's in my class of music, like who else is coming up. And I'm a huge Logan Mize fan.
Okay,
I grew up in Kansas for 6 years of my life, so like before Logan Mize was cool, I was listening to his music. You know, but now it's awesome because I love to see that everybody knows his stuff now. But he's got that new song with Donovan Woods, and it's called Grew Apart.
Yeah.
So that's the last song I listened to. It's awesome. I'm a huge fan of Donovan Woods, too.
Yeah, man. He did Everybody's Got Somebody to Thank, too, right? That song?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll let you get going here. It sounds like you've had a busy night. So best of luck. I'm excited for that next single to come out. Hopefully that feature's pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, I hope you get back to school soon so I can come out there and play some shows for you.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome. So, again, that was Sam Groen. Stay tuned. Hopefully he'll come out to Arizona, play a couple shows. You know, maybe a Country Craze exclusive. Who knows what's going to happen. Hopefully we'll get to see who that big-time feature is. No hints. He would not crack, unfortunately, but very excited for that next single. Hopefully going to be a banger. And, you know, just looking forward to see what happens. This next album, I think, is probably going to be the one that's going to send him to the moon. You can see the momentum building, and he mentioned that added pressure feel, but sometimes pressure produces the best results. So definitely excited to see what happens. And I mentioned before the interview that we had a special treat, and that is a special new song from Kyle Clark, who I had on the podcast 2 weeks ago. He has one EP out, but he decided that he was going to try to get TikTok famous during this quarantine and release a song for use on the platform for people to make their videos with. It's a remix of the song Roxanne by Arizona Zervas. And that's a great song. You know, it's charted very highly. He did a country version remix of it. It's about 40 seconds long. So I'm going to throw it in right here. You can let me know what you think. Roxanne, Roxanne, all she want to do is take a slow ride in the Dodge Ram. Roxanne, now she ain't from the country, but it's all right. She calls me a cowboy, cause I wear them Wranglers. She keep coming back, though, cause I got the makers. Roxanne, Roxanne, all she wanna do is take a slow ride. Oh, oh, in my Dodge Ram. Roxanne. Well, you can't tell me that doesn't take some serious talent to pull off a remix like that. Again, Kyle Clark, hopefully it takes off the way that he wants it to. And hopefully, if you log on to TikTok, you'll be hearing that song all over the place because it's pretty catchy. You know, I definitely have been listening to it just on my own a couple times. So shout out Kyle Clark. Thanks to him for sending that over so I could throw it in the podcast. And also another former guest, Justin McCormick, dropped a new single called It's Not About a Girl, and this is like a really cool retro country just kind of feel to it, and it's got a little bit of humor in it, so definitely check it out because you guessed it is about a girl. So that's on Spotify right now. And then Cam Cummings, the very first guest of Up in Country, has got a new single. He talked about it on the show, actually, called Choose, and it's dropping on this Friday, so definitely keep an eye out for that as well. Streaming, I'll be tweeting about it too, so make sure you follow the Twitter. But with that, I'll wrap up this episode. Again, thanks to Sam Groh for coming on the show. Great talking to him, and best of luck to him in the future. You've been listening to Up in Country. I'm Ike Everard.
For more, make sure to check out Up in Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep